Welcome to the Live Treasured podcast. Today's podcast episode was taken from one of our She Is Treasured Bible studies called Godly Girl Power. To learn more about the Godly Girl Power study or all other She Is Treasured Bible studies, you can go to our website at www.treasuredministries.com/devotions. Now let's get into today's episode. Enjoy.
Hey there, and welcome back to Godly Girl Power. You and I are on week 8, and today I want to talk to you about something that is very tender to my heart, and that is dealing with a root of rejection in your life. And the reason why this is tender is because it's absolutely been a trigger point for me. It has been the manifestation of so much insecurity and even anger and bitterness in my life. And so I'm excited to share what God has laid on my heart today, because sometimes the way that you and I react from that root of rejection is that we will just have this cloud, this imprisonment of the fear of man. And the Bible tells us that the fear of man will prove to be a snare in our life. God doesn't want us living that way. He wants us to live in freedom of following him. All right. So let's dive into our scriptures this week. And, you know, the solution for that root of rejection is going to be twofold. And the first thing is this, is that we can release ourselves from the root of rejection when we gain a greater realization that our God is a good, good Father. All right. So that's the first one. And the second one is going back to where that rejection first took root and forgiving and releasing that person that rejected you in the first place. All right, so I'm going to be diving deeper into those two points. So the first point was that you and I need to gain a revelation of who our God is, that he is a good, good Father, that your view of God is vital to you walking into victory. Because the reality is, we can either fear man or we can fear God. And when we have the fear of the Lord, in other words, when we are worshiping and reverencing him alone, the temptation to be ensnared or fearful of rejection from others will fade away. And this is a truth. The truths about who my God is as my Father. These are truths that I must continue to renew my mind to. All right, so let's dive into our nourish scripture this week. I'm starting with Ephesians verse 25. So it starts out by saying, "So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body." Now, that word "so," we need to just stop right there, because if it's saying "so," that means that what Paul is saying past the word "so" is in relationship to what he said before. So what did Paul say before? He said this in verse 24, "Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." And so in those scriptures, he was saying, so because you put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So in that passage, what we see is a couple of things. To put on, to me, suggests this daily putting on of God. And so if we're putting on the new nature, that I need to be aware of who my God is. And by putting that on, that there is an impact in the way that I live, because belief always affects behavior. And so I'm going to show you how that revelation of who God is as your good, good Father, and what that means, how that can release you from the root of rejection. And there's really a cause and effect with that, because if we're walking under the fear of man, there's certain behaviors that we're going to manifest in our life. If we're walking under the truth of who God is, it's completely different. In fact, in the first scripture, it says to stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. And oftentimes, when you and I fear rejection of others, that we will walk in pretense, that we will actually live a lie. We'll live to please others. We won't be authentic with who we are. We won't speak the truth in love, right? And the Message translation of this verse, it says it this way. What this adds up to is, and again, that means that putting on that new nature, what all that adds up to is this: no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbors the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to one another. After all, when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. And I want to ask you a question. Are you living in pretense because you fear rejection? Or did you put yourself out there in the truth of who God created you to be with your purpose, and you experienced rejection and it was so hurtful that you said to yourself, well, I'm never going to put myself out there again? You see, that's, well, it's sin. Because inside of this passage, it tells us that, you know, we are all a part of Christ's body, and that every part of the body matters. And part of that means that when you hold back from the authenticity, from who God created you to be, that you're actually hurting the body, right? I have a dear friend of mine, and she was telling me, and she has a high upper level position in a company, and a lot of times I'll actually call her to get business advice for Treasured Ministries, and every idea that she's given me, every insight has been a home run. And yet she shares with me inside of her personal time with me, she'll say, Eileen, I have this fear of sharing my ideas at work, and oftentimes I'm quiet and I get very frustrated and angry because I see where I can fix something, but I'm so fearful of sharing. And I'm like, my goodness, that organization needs what you have to offer. Well, what you have to offer matters. But I'm wondering, are any of you under the fear of rejection of man, hiding your identity that God has given you? Or are you pretending to be somebody you're not? Or are you afraid to live the truth in front of others because you fear rejection? Well, you know what? There will always be pain in living out your purpose, because the more you put yourself out there, the more rejection you are going to experience. But that pain cannot compare to the pain of living without purpose. I want to talk directly to the person that's listening today. And perhaps it is that you just started dying to that dream that God gave you because you tried once and you put yourself out there, and there were negative consequences to that. And so you just said, you know, it's easier for me not to be disappointed, right, than to just and to not try. I can completely relate to you. And see, when we get a revelation that God is our validator, we won't be looking to others, right? And we will step out instead of pulling back and hiding. I love this scripture in Matthew 10:31. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Now, the important part of that scripture is this: you are more valuable to God. To God. In other words, it's God's opinion that matters. And we have to keep that in the forefront, or else we will never move forward. And we will always pull back. And those dreams and desires, those things that we really want to do, they will fall away. Are you letting your light shine before others, or are, because of the fear of man, you've never put yourself out there? Or perhaps it is that you did put yourself out there and you were mocked or ridiculed. I want to invite you to move from pretending and hiding to a place of authenticity. All right. The second thing is this, is that God, when we lose our fear of man, that God can move us from living a victim to victory through surrender. And when we feel like a victim, and we talked about this, so I'm not going to go into it very deeply, but we talked about this in one of our lessons in Godly Girl Power, how we can oftentimes feel powerless. And when we feel powerless because we've given power to our circumstances or other people, we can begin to feel very angry. And a lot of times, if you're a codependent, you live very angry because you are dependent on controlling other people and circumstances. And so anger is an emotion that you feel often. But here's what I want you to see inside of this next scripture, that it's okay to feel angry, but it's when the anger becomes my fuel, in other words, my driving force in life, that or in my decisions, that the enemy will gain a foothold. And when the enemy gains a foothold, we're not surrendered to the Lord, right? We're surrendered to him. We're surrendered to him. All right, it says this, and don't sin by letting anger control you. So the sin is not in feeling the anger. The sin is in, is the anger going to control you? And then it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. And the revelation that we need to get inside of this is that God is more powerful than people, and he's more powerful than my circumstances. And that when those feelings of anger come, our first mechanism doesn't need to be to act out on those or to stuff our anger. We must pause and process it with God. Now, there are all kinds of physical manifestations of anger. Sometimes we think, well, that's just a loud outburst, but really, anger can be things like being passive aggressive, being sarcastic with people. Those are all places of anger, right? And so when we see that coming on in our life, it's okay to feel the anger, but it doesn't need to be our fuel, the driving force of our decision. So when you feel the anger, I want you to hit pause and pull away and process with God. We need to process with God. Number one, we need to ask him for his perspective. Sometimes, for example, when I get angry, there was one case last week when I got angry because of something that somebody said in a meeting, and I was upset, and I didn't show it in the meeting, but afterwards, I was just really hurt, and I began to process it with God, and the Lord gave me his perspective and said, Eileen, you're looking at that person to validate you, right? And so that's where the anger is coming from. You're looking at a worldly measurement to define who you are, right? And that is not what I've asked. I am your validator, right? And so we get God's perspective on that. And so in that, then I realize, you know, Lord, I just confess it. God, I just confess before you that I was looking to that person to define me, and that you are my validator, and that I can trust you. And the power through confession is that it owns it, and it brings it back into light. And when we put everything out into the light, that's when it takes away the power from that, right? And so we gain God's perspective, but then we also need to ask for a battle plan, because sometimes the battle plan may be that God tells us not to say anything. Sometimes he may call us to confront. Sometimes he may tell us to find a new situation or to walk into a new, maybe business relationship, if that's what you're you're going through. But whatever it is, ask for God's perspective and then get a battle plan from God. And remember that a lot of times anger is because a boundary has been crossed. And so sometimes we need to get better about setting boundaries. And inside of the link, I've got a good link to a blog that we wrote on setting boundaries that I'm going to put, that I've put inside of the devotion. So you can read that. But the bottom line is this, is that when we believe that God is more powerful than the people in my life or my circumstance, any circumstances I can face, and that's really what we've been talking about inside of the book of Ephesians, then we believe Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That God is over my circumstances and he's over the people in my life, and that I can do all things, that I'm not dependent upon a certain outcome or a certain person doing something for me, right? And so that's just so powerful in our life when we will pause to process and then begin to surrender. You see, our victory is in surrender, and God doesn't want us to live a victim of our circumstances or other people. The next thing is that God, when we get a revelation of who God is, that we'll change from being a stealer to a sower. A stealer to a sower. Verse 28, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work and give generously to others in need. I want to ask you a question. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? And will you see that as something for you to cultivate so that you can sow that and be a giver rather than looking at somebody else and I need to be like them or I need to get my needs met through this person, right? And so then we're consistently dependent upon a person instead of saying, what's in my hand? What's in my hand? Can I work the land that's in my hand, the seed that God has given me, and to sow that so that I can have a harvest to be a giver to others instead of always depending on people to give to me? Now, great scripture for that, and the revelation that you and I need to get from our Abba Father that God is our provider, not man. God is our provider. Philippians 4:19 says it this way, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now that verse said all, not some, all. God will supply all. Now it says all our needs. Now sometimes I've caught myself, being upset because, you know, God hasn't given me this or whatever, looking around at social media, not being content with what I have. We talked about this in a couple of lessons ago, but I'll find myself doing that. But see, here's the thing. If God hasn't given you something, perhaps it is because we don't want something that God doesn't want to give us. Sometimes there's things that we think we want and we need, right? But really God's like, well, you don't really need that right now. That would be a burden on you, right? Because every good and perfect gift comes from God. You do not want to have in your life what God doesn't want you to have. And I want to ask you a question. Are you constantly looking at what somebody else has, wanting them to give it to you, or are you aware of what God has already graciously given you that is in your hands? And would you be willing to spend that time, that work on cultivating that seed instead of comparing yourself to others and thinking that other people have what you need? God is your provider. And not only that, but when God gives to you, he wants you to cultivate that seed. Why? So that you can be generous towards others. Because people are here not to give us life, right? Really for us to love. Now, the flip side of that is that doesn't mean that you're never a receiver, because another point of codependency is that receiving is hard. We like to be the ones that are givers because, you know, that we feel in control, that kind of thing. But so receiving is hard. And really, when somebody gives to you, God is working through them to give to you, right? But it's when you and I get into this mentality of trying to manipulate or flatter people to give to us what we think we need, instead of, you know, focusing on and having gratitude of what we already have, and then growing and cultivating that so that you and I can be a giver to others. Philippians 4:19, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. All right, the next thing is that God wants to move you from a labeler to a life giver. Now, if you've grown up where somebody has rejected you, and a lot of times that comes through words, and it can even come through repeated words that were said over you, and it could have been those passive aggressive comments or you know, just slight jabs every now and then. But oftentimes, those people who have been hurt by rejection themselves are labelers, and they use shame-based talk to try to control or get people to do things. And so because of that, sometimes when the person that rejected you also experienced rejection, right? And so God is saying, let's stop, right? Because words are very powerful. Words are like containers. They carry things in them. And so we need to be careful about the words that we use and not perpetuate the cycle in our life. And we do that. We move from being a labeler or somebody that, you know, judges and pulls people down to a life giver. Okay. The scripture says it this way: do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, it said good and helpful. We're called to speak the truth. So it doesn't mean pleasing and that we always just tell people what they want to hear, right? I mean, the best friends in your lives are the ones that will speak truth over you, right? But we always need to do it in a loving, encouragement manner. Why? Because words carry power. In fact, inside the Bible, inside of Hebrews 11:3, it tells us that when God speaks words, that they have creative power. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed and created, formed and put in order and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And we see this inside of the creation story. God spoke and it was. And you know, that's the word of God, right? And so those are the words that we need to use and depend on to label ourselves, so that we can bring those life-giving words to others, because our words will carry power. In fact, listen to how important the words we say to others are. Carelessly call a brother idiot, and you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you're on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is that words kill. Words kill. And part of removing that root of rejection is by not perpetuating the cycle. And one of the primary ways that we do that is to watch the words that we say, not only about others, but about ourselves. About ourselves. I want to ask you a question. How are you speaking about you? Are you consistently labeling yourself thoughtlessly as, that was so stupid and I'm so dumb and just agreeing with the enemy, I'm so worthless? Or are you speaking life-giving words over you? You know, we can't give out what we haven't received first. And the way that we receive those words is by looking to God's word to define the truth about who we are and the purpose for which we were created. And that is how we move from a labeler to a life giver. The next thing is this, is that God wants to move you away from that fearful self-protection living to the freedom of living a faith-filled life as a child of God. He wants to move you from orphan, fearful living to walking under His protection. Now, when we live a life of self-protection, it prevents us from loving. There's nothing wrong with setting boundaries, and you will hear me say that a million times. There's nothing wrong. In fact, it's a very good thing to do, but there's a difference between a boundary and a wall. And when we live in fearful self-protection, a lot of times it happens because that we never had anybody protecting us, right? And so we live in that fearful place, and that's not a place of freedom. That's not a place of freedom. God wants you to live as His child, just trusting and following Him. Romans 8, 15 and 16 says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." Isn't that beautiful? And that's how God wants us to live, in trust. But you know what? This walking away from self-protection underneath the following the Holy Spirit, that is a process. It is a process. You know, it's a process of learning that God is your protector. That God is your protector. I love Psalm 121. It says, "I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And really, Psalm 121 is just beautiful when it talks about God's protection. And you know, another thing that you find is not just inside of that Psalms, but all over the book of Psalms, you see this claiming of God's protection, right, in the middle of very fearful circumstances. And David wrote many of the Psalms, and that is just so interesting to me, because we know that inside of the Bible, that David had a father that did not affirm him. That when Samuel came to the door to find the king, that the father, he went through every single one of his sons, didn't even mention David. And so we know from that his father, for whatever reason, rejected him. And so when you have that root of rejection, that there will need to be this lifetime process of just reminding yourself that God is your defender, that God is your protector. And so as we look inside of the Psalms, we see that David was processing this, that those places of fear and finding his courage in God's protection, that God was his guard. And see, that's what we need to remember. We need to remember who we are. Our nurse scripture said it this way, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." Now, I've never really seen this about the scripture, but you know, when it talks about don't bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit, it talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. Well, if I don't remember that God is my protector, right? And I'm self-protecting by pushing people away from me. And I mean negative ways. I don't mean setting boundaries, because I absolutely believe in setting boundaries. But I mean, I think you know what I'm talking about, that fearful self-protection. When I'm walking in that way, I'm really not trusting God to be my protector. And so from that, it's like, you know, God doesn't just barge in, right? But we bring sorrow to God's Spirit, because God is like, just trust me to protect you in this. Trust me, right? And when we trust God, we stop that fearful living and self-protection so that we can put ourselves out there, right, to be that all God has created us to be. And we won't be able to love people while we walk in that self-protection. And so God says, remember that you're mine. And part of being God's child is that he has his protection over you. And the last point of today is this. God, not only to get rid of that root of rejection, we not only need to have a realization of that we have a good Father, and his acceptance, his love, his provision in our life, his validation, his power in our life, his labels, his words spoken over us, right? But it also means that you and I can release those people that offend us. And most importantly, remember our first point was we need a realization of who our Father is. The other thing is that we must go back to that very first place we were rejected, that place of pain, and forgive that person. And it is in that forgiveness that the healing truly does begin to happen. The Bible says it this way: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. God calls us to forgive. And oftentimes, I know for me, it wasn't until I went back to that initial root of rejection and really forgave that person that the anger began to dissipate in my life. Because it's almost like when we don't release that initial hurt, we'll start recycling that hurt through other people all throughout our lives. And that root is there. And so that bitterness and that anger and that knee-jerk reaction, it all comes out of a place because the wound hasn't been healed. And it is through the forgiveness that we find that release that you and I can live the way that God intended. And there's a lot of physical damage, health damage that happens in our life, a lot of wasted energy that we spend when we are sowing into that bitterness, that anger, the rage, the harsh words and slander. That's really like judgment. That's all a part of that. God, the most powerful thing you can do is to go back to that initial place of hurt. Now, I'll tell you that forgiveness is probably one of the things I struggle with most in the Bible. And I think for years I struggled with it a lot because I had completely the wrong idea about what it was. I thought it meant I had to trust my offender again. I thought it meant just a lot of things that it really doesn't mean. And so, and the other thing is, I felt like that a lot of times I would hear, "Well, just forgive," but I wouldn't have a step-by-step process with, okay, how to walk that out. In other words, God, I agree with you and I'm ready to do it, but how do I walk through this? Or I would try to do it in my own strength. And see, God wants to take you on a process. Well, one of the most powerful processes that I've learned about is through my friend Carla Ross. Now, Carla has been studying forgiveness for years. And she did a podcast with me that talked about the steps that she walks people through in her forgiveness workshops. And so the first thing that I want to say is to listen to that podcast and take notes and just walk through her process because it really is helpful. The next thing that I want to say is that, you know, to me, the what forgiveness is, the definition of that is that I am going to release or let go of my right to hurt someone else who hurt me. That's really the first basic thing about forgiveness, that we're not going to retaliate. We're not going to take revenge. We're going to release that right to judge, to do all those things, because we're going to trust God to be our vindicator. We're going to trust God to bring us justice. That's another big revelation of who your Abba Father is. He will bring justice. And it also means that I'm going to release that person from needing to get that need met. I'm going to release all of that so that I can receive from God, so that I can receive from God. Now, what forgiveness doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that you have to trust the person again. In fact, reconciliation is really a two-party process, and you can forgive someone. Carla's going to talk about this. You can forgive someone, but the other party has to truly repent. And I want to say this, that that sometimes somebody that's offended you, especially, or that is your offender, especially if they have a narcissistic personality, they will come to you and apologize, but it will be more of a need of relief from guilt on their end. Like, they'll be like, I'm sorry I did that. And then they try to push this reconciliation. And again, it all goes back to how they want to be viewed by others, that kind of thing. But what I want to say about this, and this is so important, especially if you've walked through abusive situations that don't necessarily take someone who is an offender at their word. If they've apologized, look at their actions. Because true repentance will always bring about new actions. If somebody is truly sorry, they're going to change the way that they act. Actions will always tell you what a person actually believes. So forgiveness too, the one thing I want to close with on this, it's like this weapon. It really is. Forgiveness is really releasing other people and putting your faith in God, putting your faith in God. And oftentimes with codependency, we have this inflated expectation on people to be our validation, to be this and that for us. And so a lot of times we find ourselves in this place or in this cycle, like we look to someone to validate us, and then we put that person up on a pedestal, and then all of a sudden they become an idol, and then that person lets us down, and then, whew, right, we slam the judgment, we slam the unforgiveness, and it's hard for us to get out because the hurt is so much deeper because of the elevated place that we've given people. And the key is, again, really watching out for that in your life and quickly forgiving, right, by walking through this process. And again, look at Carla's podcast, but it's also getting to that root, and finding that release from that person and receiving from God so that you can give to others. You know, the root of rejection is a tough one. The Bible says that the fear of man will prove to be a snare. And we've talked about the many ways that it will be a snare in your life. It will lead you to a life of pretending instead of authentic purpose and not being afraid to put yourself out there, even dying to your dreams. It will cause you to be a victim, angry at other people and circumstances all the time. And it'll cause you to look at people as the source for everything. And instead of finding out what's in your hand to work and to sow, and you might live your life as a labeler because somebody labeled you. But I'm here to tell you that God wants you to not be a labeler, but a life giver, not a stealer, but a sower, not someone who has a victim mentality, but gains victory through surrender. And he wants you to put yourself out there, not in hiding, not living in pretense, but to live in authenticity so you can become all that God has created you to be. And this is a process of remembering whose you are and who he is, so that you can live not a fearful slave, but as a child of God. And a big part of that is releasing others through forgiveness to receive from him. Don't let the root of rejection steal your rights as a child of God. God has called you to be a light. So let your love and your light shine by gaining a new revelation of who your Abba Father is. And then one day at a time, one step at a time, walking that out in faith, in forgiveness, and cultivating that gift that God has given you so that you can become all that God has created you to be. Thanks. See you for week 9. Bye-bye.